This is a Dragon Blazer production. Coming down the aisle, the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show! It's time for another exciting episode of the Rage
and Blaze Show.
Okay, so today we are going to be revisiting WrestleMania 3, March 29th, 1987. This is the big one. This is the one where Hulk Hogan power slams or body slams Andre the Giant. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see this one again.
And then there's also the fact that, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat faces Macho Man in what many consider the greatest match of all time.
Well, we'll be the judge of that at the end of this episode. Now, this is another 3-hour WrestleMania, so this will probably be another 2-part episode.
Yeah, we're probably going to stick to the 2-part format for these 3-hour long episodes.
Yeah, when we start getting into more 2.5-hour pay-per-views, we'll probably go back to the one episode for a pay-per-view format. But until then, we'll have to break these up. We don't want overly long podcasts being released.
We'd like to keep these around an hour long.
So, we've got another exciting thing today on the show. We get to have our first guest ever.
First guest ever, and who is that, Rage?
It's Warren Rayburg, who is the owner, operator, founder of Ohio Nerd.
That's right. He goes to toy shows and checks out a lot of toys. We're going to be talking about toys later in the show.
Yeah, he buys, sells. He's everything to do with toys, and one thing he does is he can get a hold of WWF action figures for you.
Yeah, I was, I don't know about you, but, well, I do know about you. I grew up with you. We had a lot of wrestling toys when we were kids. We had the wrestling ring, and I believe my favorite toy was this Ultimate Warrior toy I had when I was younger.
Had the little thumb things that you just kind of push down and then launch them off the top rope.
Oh, yeah, that was always fun.
But we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. We want to leave the toy talk with Warren. So later in our show, he will be joining us. Okay, so already, we've already started this WrestleMania 3, and you can tell it is massive. Dear Lord, 93,173 people in attendance. This is the biggest WrestleMania, and it held the record up until 2016 when WrestleMania 32 was held at AT&T Stadium and beat out the record attendance. But this was the largest attended WrestleMania for, I mean, what is that, 30 years? 33 years?
No. That's a long time. That's huge.
So, yeah, just about 30 years, maybe actually 29 years to be exact. So, I mean, this you can tell. It's at the Pontiac Silverdome. It's beautiful. It is just massive, and you can just tell already they traded 3 different cities with 3 small venues for this
massive venue, and we'll see if we get entrances this time, but it's kind of starting to feel
like WrestleMania.
Like WrestleMania, isn't it?
Definitely.
The music this time sounded kind of like a 80s sitcom where your wacky neighbor is going to rush into that door and his name's going to pop off on the screen.
I'll tell you what, though. They use some weird retro musical instrument. You ever heard of the thing called the saxophone?
I have. I think that's an instrument.
I'll tell you what. I haven't heard the saxophone in years. And I believe we got to hear it at the beginning of this opening.
I mean, I've heard it every time I watch The Simpsons.
Oh, is that so? So anyhow, So this show starts off with Vince McMahon welcoming everybody to WrestleMania, you know, the way he does. And then you get him announcing the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, this is by far the best musical guest to do the... It was America the Beautiful, not the national anthem.
Yeah, this is America the Beautiful she performs on a piano right there next to the wrestling ring.
Aretha
this
kills it.
This is just starting to feel like the WrestleManias we know and love today. I mean, this was 30 years ago, and you can already feel the scale, and it's just amazing. So then
I just hope I get entrances.
I got a feeling we're going to starting in this one. Like,
I hope so.
On more of a consistent basis, we hope. Who knows? They might still leave people in the ring, and we'll see what we get. But
I want even shitty wrestlers like the Executioner to get an entrance in this one.
I think the Executioner's on the unemployment line at
I'm
the point
he
of
got
this.
Executed.
Yeah, I don't think he's. We haven't heard from him in the last WrestleMania. So
yeah.
Okay, so then they move on to Jesse the Body Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon, and they're going to introduce some guest commentators for the show. We've got Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball. He was MLB player, won the World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals in 1964. He was also the voice of the Cleveland Indians in the Major League Baseball trilogy movies, the comedies with Charlie Sheen. Those were some great movies.
Never watched it.
Wait, this is a wrestling podcast, so we'll just leave this at wrestling. But what?
I've never seen them.
You've never seen the Major League...
I've seen the first one when I was a kid, but it's been a long time.
Okay, well, there's plenty of streaming platforms out there. We'll have to look for it, and you'll have to watch that.
Oh, on this wrestling podcast, we should watch Major League Baseball?
Absolutely not during the podcast. Do it on your own time. So anyhow, so then they announce the other special guest, which is Mary Hart, long-time host of Entertainment Tonight.
Never really watched much of that either.
I'm sure if you'd seen her, you know, a little bit older than what she is here, I'm sure you'd recognize her because she was on TV for Entertainment Tonight for probably 30 years.
I'm sure I've watched an episode or two. It's just not really in my bag.
So already a couple minutes into the show, we're already getting celebrities, which is a long-standing tradition of WrestleMania. We've already got a musical performance and two celebrities already. Okay, so the first match of WrestleMania 3 is a tag team match against the Can-Am Connection with Rick Martel and Tom Zenk, and it is against the Cowboy Bob Orton and the Magnificent Morocco, with Mr. Fuji in their corner. Now, we remember Rick Martel. A little bit down the road, he's going to become the model Rick Martel. Now, Tom Zenk kind of got lost in history.
No idea.
Yeah, no clue. I even looked him up. Looks like he only spent about 2 years in the WWF, probably as a part of the Can-Am Connection, and that was kind of history for him.
This is the highlight of his life.
Yeah, this is definitely the one he tells his grandchildren. So, well, that's if he got a woman that could give him kids to begin with. Anyhow, so anyhow, we're all disappointed here, aren't we? Why are we disappointed at the beginning of this match?
I still don't have entrances.
No entrances. Both teams were standing in the ring. They just announced both teams. While they're standing there, they kind of give a fist bump to the crowd, and the match is about to begin. And that's about all we get at the beginning of this match.
No music, no walking down the aisle. They're just already there. This is like a pre-show match.
So hopefully we'll get some more entrances. We definitely enjoy those. But this was a pretty good tag team match, a little bit of back and forth. You could tell the Can-Am Connection was a tag team, and they were working in sync, where the Cowboy Bob Orton and the Magnificent Morocco was a little out of sorts. There was a moment where Morocco punched Cowboy Bob Orton accidentally, and then later on he hits him again. There were just some disconnect between those two.
I feel bad for poor 8-year-old Randy having to watch his dad go through all that.
And he was probably sitting right in the front row watching his daddy get his butt kicked.
Perhaps.
So that would be kind of interesting to see if 8-year-old Randy's out there in the crowd. We'll have to keep an eye on him, see if we can find him.
I wonder if he's still hearing voices yet.
So anyhow, the Can-Am Connection wins this one with the nice little tag team move, cross body with
Morocco
a trip.
Morocco just tripped over him. I felt bad for Morocco. Those guys, he shouldn't have been in the ring.
Yeah, well, the referee let it go. He announced him as the winner at the end, and that was the decision. So it's time to move on.
All right.
Okay, so before we get the next match, they end up giving us a little video package of what's been happening, like probably Saturday night main event it looked like, between Billy Jack Hayes versus Hercules with Bobby the Brain Heenan. So they show a little footage at Saturday night main event where they're beating each other up. They're trying to, I guess, get the full Nelson on them, so this is being billed as like the full Nelson match, even though it's a regular singles match.
It's a grudge match.
It's a grudge match, and both of these guys have the same finishing move, which is the full Nelson. We get a interview with Hercules, who we'd like to point out is now billed as Hercules, not Hercules Hernandez.
See, I didn't realize that we had a demigod in the ring when we were watching last episode.
Yeah, he points out during the interview that apparently he's at least 1,000 years old.
Yeah, because he's Hercules. Actually, though, Hercules would have been around a lot longer than 1,000 years old. Hercules...
Are you calling him a liar?
I'm saying that he got his time a little off.
Okay.
Well, that would be 1,000, or, well, 980, 1,000 years ago. Hercules was around before, or in B.C., so, I mean, it would have been a long, long time ago. And I'm in a long time.
I mean, a long time ago. Okay, so, guess what we finally get in this WrestleMania?
What's that?
Entrances!
Yeah!
But no music. I got bad news. Yeah, I was going to say, I got bad news. No music. But we get some of my favorite entrances of all time. We get the little go-kart and the little mini-ring drove out to the ring. I love these entrances. Absolutely love them. I really wish they'd bring them back, because how cool are those little mini rings that they come out of? I want one. Where can I get one?
Check Amazon.
You know what? Amazon has everything.
Everything. Mini rings that take you out to a ring? Amazon.
I'm going to get on Amazon as soon as we're done with the show.
You know what I want before those mini rings?
What's that?
An actual ring.
An actual ring? I don't know if I can convince my wife to get an actual ring for the backyard, but maybe a go-kart shaped as a ring.
You think you have a better chance?
I've got to, right? It won't take up as much space.
Sure.
Okay, sure, so we're going to move on to this match. This is a pretty good back-and-forth strongman match is the best way I can describe it. Brute strength, back and forth. We had a pretty vicious clothesline during this match.
By Hercules.
Yep, and then we get Hercules gets his chance at the full Nelson, and Hercules holds on to it for a while, and we get the whole classic wrestling power move where, the
shaking of the arms.
Yeah, the shaking of the arms by Billy Jack Haynes. He kind of does the whole Superman, you know, pump up, get the crowd to cheer, and he breaks out of it. So then it's his turn. He gets the full Nelson on to Hercules. They end up falling out of the ring. He gets the lock on again, and as he's holding on to it, they end up counting to 10, and they both get counted out. And right when they get counted out, that Bobby the Brain Heenan gets himself involved and decides to kick Billy in the back.
See, I have thoughts on that. See, Bobby the Brain Heenan was mad, just like all of us was mad. He should have bowed down and realized that he's facing a demigod. He is facing Hercules of legend. He should have just bowed down, and he didn't. He disrespected Hercules. So Bobby the Brain Heenan was just mad.
Well, Billy Jack obviously was not happy about getting kicked.
Shot.
He wasn't happy about getting kicked, so he goes chasing after Bobby the Brain Heenan. Hercules eventually catches up to him and wraps that chain, that silver chain he comes down the aisle with, and he punches Billy Jack right in the forehead.
I'm willing to bet that chain was magical.
It must have been, because
that is Zeus, you know that.
Because he had blood pouring down his face. This is probably the bloodiest, well, yeah, I'd say this was bloodier than King Kong Bundy in WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, it was pretty bloody.
So this is probably the bloodiest we've seen so far in a WrestleMania. I mean, King Kong kind of bled a little and it went around his eyes and stuff, but Billy Jack was busted open. His whole face was kind of covered in blood. So this is about the bloodiest we've seen in a WrestleMania so far.
It should have been bloodier if you're facing a demigod.
Now keep in mind, the match was already over when all this took place. They ended up calling this a double countout. So no winner in this second match of WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, this is, I believe, our second double countout of the WrestleManias we watched.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, so we're going to move on to the next match. Okay, so before we move on to the next match, we're going to introduce our first guest on the Rage and Blaze show. His name is Warren Rayburg. He's coming down at 6'8". This man is a monster. How you doing there? You're known in your circles, Ohio Nerd, right?
That's right, guys. We are here, the Ohio Nerd, bringing it to you, bringing you all the pain, all the toys, all the collectible goodness right here to the Rage and Blade show. We are bringing all the knowledge of wrestling goodies and the toys. The impact will be felt for generations to come.
Okay, so Warren, or do you want to be known as Ohio Nerd on here?
That's what I go by on the social media. As you guys all may know me already from my YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. You could see me out of the toy shows. If you collect wrestling figures or memorabilia, you might have ran into me if you're from the Ohio area or even around. I travel across this country hunting for all the toys.
So you're considered somewhat of an expert on toys, right?
I don't know about expert. But definitely, toys are my expertise. There's people, you know, I'm 22 years old, so vintage toys is a passion of mine through being what I grew up playing with. Yeah, I play with modern toys too, but I grew up playing with hand-me-downs, going to garage sales and flea markets. So, for instance, my first wrestling toys were the vibrating figures from San Francisco Toy Makers. They had the license to, I want to say, WCW at the time.
Yeah.
And so they were producing those, and I got those at a flea market because it was cool, because it was a toy, it would vibrate and, like, fight people, and I thought that was just super cool. That's why I picked it up. Because growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of wrestling. My parents were very conservative on the things I could watch. I wasn't allowed to watch SpongeBob, and, you know, wrestling was basically people beating the crap out of each other. But it's just so cool because they are real-life superheroes.
Absolutely, they are. And when you were growing up, wrestling was in the Attitude Era, so it was really kind of raunchy when you were a little kid, right?
Well, you've
never really
been past the Attitude
Era. Never really been little.
Attitude Era is really important. I mean, it really saved WWE. It really brought them out on top. They won the Monday Night Wars with that era. But I was a little bit after. When I remember, it was, you know, John Cena was huge. We had The Undertaker. You had the Hardy Brothers. That was really when I was growing up.
So it was kind of in the transition stage, Attitude into the kind of the PG era.
Actually, after the Attitude Era, I believe it was called the Ruthless Aggression Era.
So is that about the time you were a kid?
Yeah, that'd be about the time. I think the Attitude Era is really what soured it for my parents, is just because
they
don't be walking in and just telling my teacher to suck it.
Yeah, and, you know, there was a lot of T-shirts going around, and you had Stone Cold flipping his boss out off. So I can see where parents might have shied against you watching that.
Yeah, but really where I got into wrestling was the toys, just because they're so much fun, and they have such a rich history. If you guys know anything about the toy history of wrestling figures, WWF, you know, when they were first starting out, Remco approached them and offered them $10,000 for the license, and Vince was loving it up, you know, he said that. But Galoob, they also wanted the license, so they offered $25,000 for the license. So, you know, they over-doubled it, and there was that. But the really cool thing was, Vince wasn't sure about Galoob being the company. Galoob was a smaller company at the time. They hadn't, you know, been well established as Remco. Remco made, like, everything knockoff-wise. They had a bunch of toys, but they were well established. Galoob was kind of not as well established. So they said, you know, why don't you call Universal and ask them how we did? Because they had just got done making the successful toy line for the A-Team Galoob had. So they were like, oh, ask Universal to give us a plug. Say, hey, they'll back us up, give us a recommendation. So Vince called Universal, and little did the Galoob know, Universal had just bought LJN Toys. They were now the parent company of LJN. So when Vince called up to say, hey, what do you think of this? They said, you shouldn't have them do it. Let us do it. We'll have LJN do it. And LJN put in a bigger bid, and they got it because they offered $200,000 for the license. And Vince, being actually a good man in this situation, went back to Galoob and said, you can have it if you can match their offer. And Galoob being a smaller company, they couldn't match Universal and LJN's $200,000 offer.
So then history was made, and those are probably the toys we grew up knowing and loving.
The LJN were the big rubbery figures, if you know anything
okay.
about them. And the reason they became the big size, they were originally designed to be smaller, scaled down to the bendable figures. So if there was also a bendable line, it was way less popular than the Superstars, the big rubbery ones. But when they pitched them, they pitched with a scale-up version so that it'd be easier to pitch. And the people pitching it never told the toy stores that they were making it smaller. And the toy stores loved it because not only did they have real-life superheroes, they had toys that were larger than life. They had these big things that you could battle around and beat each other. They were really playable. And I know everyone out there listening right now, if you're in the age group that grew up with these toys, you know how much fun they were. You could throw them around. They had weight to them. They would bounce around. And they were just a lot of fun to play with. And those was the LJN era. And you got to think, LJN made some great toys. They had Thundercats. They had the Michael Jackson toys, Rambo, E.T., Knight Rider. It was just great. So they did that. And then Remco, going back to that first company we talked about here, they weren't going to lay down. So they went out, and they're really known for riding on the coattails. So if you guys know He-Man, the Masters of the Universe.
Of course.
Oh, yeah,
you know, that has a really good crossover with you wrestling fans for He-Man.
I think they just recently, within the last couple years, did a crossover He-Man WWE wrestling line.
And those figures are absolutely great. They had Macho Man in there. They had Ultimate Warrior.
I remember Sting.
Yeah, Sting. They had John Cena. They had Roman Reigns. Like, that's such a great toy line. So, to go back to that, guys, Remco, that first line we talked about, they didn't go laying down. They went out and got the license to a much smaller company, AWA Wrestling. And at that time, that was before Ric Flair had joined the WWF. So, Ric Flair was made into a figure by Remco at that time. So, you have really the big giants, LJN, those figures that everyone loves. And you had Remco at the exact same time making wrestling figures. So those are really the vintage era about when WrestleMania 3 here. Those would have been the options for everyone to play with. They could have played with those big rubbery LJN figures or that line. They had like some thumb wrestlers and they had some bendables. Or they could have went with the Remco. Remco was a little bit cheaper line and played with those and had people like Ric Flair to play with.
Yeah, we played with some of them rubber figures growing up with our stepbrother. I think he had some of those. But we're more familiar with the early 90s action figures. Now, who was that? That
would have been Jack's Pacific that you guys played with. And they were actually one of the first companies with these wrestling figures that introduced in 3D face scanning. Really, in the middle 90s is when it became affordable to do 3D face scans. And that's really when their figures kind of started to take off. They were making figures of a bunch of people. It was really good. And they made a really successful toy line. They made some of my favorites. They made, and my personal favorite, one of the wrestlers, is they made a great DDP figure who would actually strike the DDP pose when you, like, squeeze his legs.
Oh, I remember that. Had a little thing that it brings it down.
It was
a little
great
button. Yeah, that was awesome.
DDP!
But, yeah, so, like, that would have been your guys' era. And then they had the license on for until 2006, and then Mattel picked it up in 2010. And Mattel, for the first time then, they've made every figure in scale with each other with their line, with their elites. And that is really the evolution we've come through. We start off with big rubbery figures that were great to play with, great playability. But, they really lack that facial detail. They lack that accuracy. But they were just such great figures to play with. To now, we have these figures that are such great collectibles. They have great 3D face scans that look so real. They're even 3D face printing the figures now if you go into the stores. And everything's in scale with each other. And it's just the evolution of figures has been amazing with wrestling.
I remember having a Hulk Hogan figure where his arms were kind of flat. And you could lift him up and you could put another figure on him. And he would, like, spring load, and he would throw the other
figures.
Spring loaded, and he would throw the other figures. I always remember loving playing with those figures.
That would have most likely been a Hasbro figure. So after LJN would lose the license due to basically a hostile takeover of LJN, they lost a lot of their toys, and that would then go on. Hasbro would pick up the license. Hasbro didn't carry the license very long. They picked it up towards the end of WWF's big heyday, and they actually just chose not to renew the license just because they weren't making as much money. But that figure with that action would have been a Hasbro WWF figure.
Yeah, we absolutely loved playing with those as a kid. We had the big blue wrestling ring that came with the figures and everything, and it just brings back tons of childhood memories.
That big blue wrestling ring actually is a great piece of toy history. So the original rings that they had, nowadays if you look at them, they're designed different. They're not as durable, those posts. There's actually record of a kid fell on one of the wrestling ring posts in his chest, and he died, had to take him to the hospital from internal bleeding. The post was so durable and so strong that a kid falling on it would puncture all the way through. So, yeah, like that's like a big piece in toy history.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's people out there who just collect toys that have been recalled. And that is, like, a big piece of history.
Toys, that's good.
Oh, no, not just like that. Like, there's a Tarzan figure that makes obscene motions when you poke his action.
Oh, wow.
I can only imagine that.
This show just got dirty.
There's, like, a Punisher toy that, like, transforms into, like, a missile, but the missile comes out of his private area.
Okay, listeners, we're going to stick to the wrestling now.
Yeah, but, so, that wrestling ring, guys, that's, like, actually a big part of toy history.
That's actually interesting. I never heard this story. We survived our childhood with this dangerous wrestling ring we had in our bedroom.
We're survivors.
We definitely
here at the
are.
Rage and Blaze show. We are survivors.
So anyhow, we're glad you're on the show. How would you like to finish watching WrestleMania 3 with us and get your reaction?
Oh, man. Has Andre went on yet?
He is the main event. He will be the last match. He's taking on the immortal Hulk Hogan.
Absolutely, guys. We're going to stay here, say our prayers, eat our vitamins, and finish watching WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, brother. All right. Here we go. We're going to move on to the next match. Okay, so now we're going to get an interview with King Kong Bundy and his little partners. And after that, we get another interview with Hillbilly Jim and his little partners. So what we have coming up is a six-man mixed tag match. So if anybody who's ever watched wrestling knows that a mixed tag match is traditionally mostly men and women in matches, and the women have to fight the women, the men have to fight the men. But in this case, it's a six-man mixed tag match, and there's two little people on each team, and there's a big guy, and the little people are supposed to wrestle little people, and the big guy's supposed to wrestle the big guy. So here we got Hillbilly Jim with Haiti Kid and the Little Beaver. I'm not making this up, guys. Go watch it. And then we've got King Kong Bundy and his partners Little Tokyo and Lord Littlebrook.
Oh, jeez, these names.
Yeah,
they're a bit uncomfortable.
obviously, this is the time. This is the time in which we get a little bit of a comedy segment in the show. This isn't really meant to be, you know, one of the big matches. This is just kind of a break from the action, and we get a little bit of laughter in the room.
And you guys have to consider with this, we don't condone the imagery or messaging from this. This is a long time ago.
Yeah, obviously, this is 30-plus years old, and it's... They use some words during this match that's not really accepted.
We don't agree with. They don't represent our thoughts or beliefs. So just make sure everyone know that we're very clear that's separate.
Yes, very.
Also, guys, pay attention. On a more positive note, you guys watch these promos in between before the match. We just got done talking about those LJN figures, and a little boy held up a Macho Man LJN figure. So that's pretty cool.
That was cool. That was, it was
perfect timing.
It was literally right after we just had the conversation. So. How perfect was that? So anyhow, we're going to get into this match, and it starts off with the little people, and they do their thing, and you get some bouncing around the ropes and collisions, and then you get the little
body slams too, man. Like they had some high quality wrestling they put on.
It was fun.
They were pretty good. Yeah.
So then you get the little bit. If anybody ever watched a kind of a comedy wrestling segment, they do the row where it looks like they're rowing a boat with the legs. So we get that little move going on. Then we get King Kong Bundy gets tagged in, and he obviously looks like he's wanting to take on one of the little guys, but Hillbilly Jim comes in, and he kind of saves the day. So then they wrestle for a few minutes until finally the little guys get back in, and King Kong Bundy gets himself disqualified by taking his whole body weight and doing a... move on one of the little people.
It was a power slam.
He just threw himself on. Guys, it was clear what happened. Bundy's just not used to having that much beaver, and he saw it, got overwhelmed, and fell right down on it.
Oh!
Wow.
I can't even condone the actions of King Kong Bundy. He just slammed down a guy 3 times smaller than him.
Yeah, but that guy was wrestling his butt off. And that same beaver guy... You have to keep in mind, he didn't even back out of that ring. When Paul Bundy tapped in, he stood in there, went between his legs, did a belly kick on him, flying jump kick. It was amazing. That guy did not put up with Bundy, and Bundy
brave
wasn't going to put up with that guy.
Yeah, he was brave, and so, I mean, did he deserve it?
I think it was, I mean, Bundy basically said, you want to wrestle with me, I'll wrestle with you. I don't know if he should have been disqualified.
Well, he got disqualified, so the winners of this match is Hillbilly Jim, Little Beaver in the Haiti Kid.
Oh, jeez. I'm so glad we're done with this match.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, he might not have got disqualified if he was a bigger beaver.
No.
Okay. So we're gonna move on to the comedy segment, and we're going to check out the next match.
But first, we got a word from our sponsor.
Okay, welcome back, listeners. So, next thing we get is we get an interview with the lovely Miss Elizabeth. Or so we think we're going to get an interview with the lovely Miss
Elizabeth. That's basically what happened in the interview.
Yeah, basically. So, Macho Man Randy Savage, he comes in and says, "Oh, Miss Elizabeth, we've got to go out to the ring. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Macho Man. I'm going to interrupt this interview." And I really would have liked to hear what Miss Elizabeth had to say.
Well, everybody wanted to hear what Miss Elizabeth had to say, but he interrupted her. So then it moves on to some clips between the feud of the Junkyard Dog and Harley King Race. So that's what we're about to get, is a match, and we get some little clips showing us a little bit about this feud and what's been going on. So this is the loser bows to the king match. So the loser of this match is going to be crowned the king, and or the winner of the match is going to be crowned the king, and the loser is going to have to bow. So then we get some promos between both wrestlers, and we get a little bit of barking from the JYD.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And then they both get entrance music. I believe this is the first time we've heard entrance music in this WrestleMania.
It is correct. It is the first time.
And both wrestlers get it.
Absolutely.
So they come down to the ring. They have a pretty good match. There was a few moves, Warren, that you really liked, right?
Oh, yeah. What was the king's name again? The King Harley Race.
The King Harley Race.
King Harley Race. When Junkyard threw him on the top rope and he would do those 360 spins off of it, that was really fun to watch. I really enjoyed that.
Really, he was really good at selling the moves.
Yeah, he sold that, getting thrown off that top rope.
Absolutely.
And then, it was good.
And then we get the Junkyard Dog signature, getting down on all fours and doing his doggy headbutts. And then Harley Race somehow gets the upper hand in the match. And I'm telling you what.
Junkyard kicked out.
Junkyard definitely
kicked out.
But that referee, he called 1-2-3 and called King Harley Race the winner of the match.
Harley Race won. Fair and square.
Oh, whatever.
Fair and square.
Absolutely not.
You know what he got fair and square? He got fair and squarely hit right in the head with that chair.
That was a cheap shot.
No, it was fair and square.
An absolute cheap shot from Junkyard Dog. And then, if that's not bad enough, he steals Harley Race's robe.
The robe that belongs to him, because he should have won that match.
No.
I was happy to see Junkyard Dog get his revenge, hit Harley Race over the head with the chair.
Cheap shot.
And then Harley Race went and ran with his tail between his leg.
He should have lost gracefully. He lost fair and square, and then gets cheap-shotted. That just wasn't fair for Harley Race.
Well, the JYD kicked out. He should have been the winner of this match. But it was a pretty fun match to watch. Some good wrestling in this one. And even impressed Warren with some
360s
out of it. Yep. All right, let's move on. So next up, we get a perfect promo by Hulk Hogan, wearing all yellow with the Hulkamania shirt. I absolutely love it. Vince McMahon's doing the interview. We get the whole, what you gonna do, brother?
Yeah, and I thought it was very nice of him to bring in that whole fan about how Andre wants to beat him. He's gonna have to beat all the Hulkamania people out there. He's gonna have to beat his whole fans. He's gonna have to beat people that don't cut corners. He has to do that work hard. You know, he's really doing a good job of present himself as that face. And Vince is doing a great job of selling it. Watch Vince McMahon's reactions during that promo, guys. Vince really does help sell that promo.
Definitely.
Vince is very underrated as a promo guy. Like, we saw him a lot in the Attitude Era. We loved him. We hated him. And it's really nice to see him as a commentator and an interviewer here in these older WrestleManias.
Yeah, he does a really good job, and at one time, he was the main voice of the WWF, now WWE, but he just has that great voice for it.
Yeah, he really does.
All right, so moving on, the next match is against the Dream Team, Brutus Beefcake, still no Barber Monkier, and Greg the Hammer Valentine. They have Dino Bravo and Johnny Valiant in their corner. The other team is the I might butcher this, the Ragu Brothers?
Ragu.
So some French name, and that is with
French Canadian.
Montreal, yes. Quebec is where they were from.
Right. So, and that's got Raymond Ragu, or Ragu.
Reggie.
And Jacques Ragu. Now, we remember Jacques from later on in wrestling. He becomes the Mountie. So that is where we remember him a little bit more from. And I'm so glad he became the Mountie, because if I have to keep saying this name, I'm going to quit. I just can't keep doing it.
Hey, that's French-Canadian for you. I mean, at least it's not English-Canadian, where you have a thing like coloring has like a U in it. Did you know that? Like in French, there's a Canadian English too. That's a different language, kind of too.
Really?
Yeah, it's Canadian's very interesting, especially if you get into how they have to market things there.
Well, it's interesting that he's the Mountie, because I thought these were two jobbers.
Yeah, that's what my initial thought was too. That this would be like their only match for the thing. They just came in to get beat up, but I mean,
turns
that's really
out he becomes the Mountie.
Well, they had a couple really good moves in this match. They even had one where Raymond put Greg the Hammer Valentine on his shoulders, and Jacques jumped off the top rope, and he kind of put his whole.
So, I mean, let's get real here. If you watch this match, there's no reason that they shouldn't have won.
Yeah.
The only reason they didn't win is because interference and the fact there was three people to help one distract.
Whoa! What interference?
Dino Bravo got involved where he shouldn't have been. The Jacques and Raymond really should have won this match.
I didn't see that. I'm pretty sure you guys had something in your eye. There was no interference. This is a clean tag team win.
Oh, come on, Blaze.
I mean, it was mismatched here, Blaze. Let's get real. I mean, Rage and I am seeing right now, you know, we're actually watching this with their eyes open. You're over here with some rose-tinted glasses over there.
I didn't see anything of the sort. All I saw was a good, clean match.
And Raymond had the pin at one time, but the referee was distracted.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to think of it this way, you know. Play devil's advocate here.
Clearly,
they clearly knew how to do teamwork. That team knew how to work. They had it all planned out. Who was going to distract Rev? Who was going to help? I mean, they clearly had the better teamwork, even if they shouldn't have won.
They definitely did have the better teamwork, and not only did they have the better teamwork, but at the end of the match, something went on with Brutus Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah, I missed that completely.
Yeah, because
I think we had our first tag team breakup on WrestleMania.
Yeah, we had our first kind of... I guess he's already a heel, so it's not a heel turn, but we had our first WrestleMania backstabbing moment.
I'm kind of hoping that this is what turns Brutus into the barber.
Yeah, hopefully in WrestleMania 4, maybe we'll get the barber, Brutus the barber Beefcake. We've got other pay-per-views before that, maybe we'll get it a little sooner than that.
Perhaps.
Because remember, listeners, after this WrestleMania 3, we are moving on to Survivor Series, so we are going to start broadening our horizons and some of the other big WWE pay-per-views that we all have grown to love throughout the years. We're going to start exploring those. But like I said, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Dino Bravo, and Johnny Valiant literally get into the little wrestling go-karts that I was calling it, and they shut the ropes on them, and they leave Brutus by himself in the ring. So
yeah, Brutus didn't get in with... He was like shaking his head. Something happened that they didn't show on camera.
Yeah, definitely it was confusing. They all just left him in the ring. So we're not quite sure what that's about. Obviously, if we were able to watch, maybe the Saturday night main event after WrestleMania, we'd be able to kind of pick up a little bit more on this storyline. But you can definitely see they're going to probably start Valentine versus Beefcake feud.
Yeah.
Obviously coming up. So
it's the seeds. They're planting the seeds right there.
They definitely was planting the seeds for a big feud, maybe a big match. And since we're moving on to Survivor Series in the next show, and they didn't really have a lot of pay-per-views back then. Pay-per-views were rare. They were more of a, you know, kind of once every year, and then WWF kind of expanded it with these other big pay-per-views to kind of make it a quarterly event. So you didn't have, like you have today, you don't really have the pay-per-views once a month like you get today. So there's a chance this match might be getting built up, and we might get to see it in Survivor Series, but I haven't looked at the card, so I can't promise that to the listeners. But it'd be interesting if we got to see that.
Seems to be where they're going with this, yeah.
So, okay, so next up, we're going to be seeing Roddy Piper versus Adrian Adonis. So that's what's coming up next. Okay, so first thing we get is a montage of clips of this feud between Adrian Adonis and Roddy Piper and Jimmy Hart getting involved. So it looks like Adonis has been kind of beating up on Roddy Piper. We also get our first glimpse of Piper's pit in these montages, which we haven't seen before. And another thing we'd like to point out is Piper has now turned face, where in the first two WrestleManias, he was definitely a heel.
The ultimate heel.
Well, this time he's the face in this match, and he's got his own talk show, Piper's Pit. And then we also get our first non-interview promo. So Piper just holding the mic in front of the camera and talking about the match and pretty much saying what he's going to do to Adonis.
No surrender!
Careful there, man. I think your voice just cracked.
That was by design.
So anyhow, so then we get an interview with Adrian Adonis and Jimmy Hart, and then they show them coming out into the mini wrestling ring golf carts. But then something we haven't seen in this pay-per-view yet, we get Roddy Piper coming out without the mini wrestling ring carts. He just walks out and marches out to his
bagpipes. He's a real man.
So you could tell he's playing to the crowd. The crowd is just going wild.
Oh, they're eating that.
He's wearing the red plaited kilt.
This is classic Piper. If you saw a toy of Roddy, this is the image you saw.
Yes.
This is the pinnacle Roddy Piper.
Yes, this is the action figure we had growing up. This is the action figure that Grandmommy bought us.
Yeah, this is the LJN figure to a T, guys, if you're familiar with that. With the red kilt removable, take it off for the match. He's got everything going on right there. The Hot Rod shirt.
Oh, love the Hot Rod shirt.
Oh, and he was a great Hot Rod shirt. Too.
You have a Hot Rod shirt?
I do. What's her name? Ronda Rousey.
Oh, so it's actually a Rousey shirt. It's not a Piper shirt.
No, but...
but it says Hot Rod.
Yeah, it says Hot Rod.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and now that he's a face, we can talk... in real life, he was a really good guy. He figured out his life afterwards. He and Ric Flair actually did a wife swap. Where they did a wife... yeah, that's real story.
Where did this show just go?
Yeah, you guys need to know this stuff. Come on. It's your jobs to know. Yeah, Roddy Piper and Nature Boy Ric Flair, woo! Did a wife swap in the real life. Yeah, they did a wife swap for the TV show Wife Swap.
This was a television program.
Yeah, this was a TV
program. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well...
yeah, and basically... Hot Rod Piper went and lived like a pretty normal life. He lived out away from people in the mountains, nature. It was really nice. He had his life figured out with money. And he really did his best to talk and reach out to Ric Flair. Ric Flair has such a spending habit. And people were really taking advantage of him. And Hot Rod Piper actually in real life did his best to help Ric Flair out to try to get that under control.
Good deal.
All the more reason he's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Yeah, and another great thing about this match... it was hard to watch getting Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart's another great guy in real life. Doing toy shows like I do, guys, so Ohio nerd over here, toys and collectibles, my game type thing. I've actually set up at this table right next to Jimmy Hart in real life before I talked to him. Great guy. He's got his start in wrestling out of the Memphis area. He just a great guy. And in real life, too, an interesting thing is, you know, he played a manager in WWF, but in real life, he was the real-life manager of Hulk Hogan, and that's why he left the company. When Hart left the company, it was because he couldn't be in WWF and manage Hulk out of the company when Hulk went over to WCW.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And another cool thing about Hart is, if you guys know, he did the theme music for a lot of people. So, for instance, like the Honky Tonk, he did the Honky Tonk Man theme, and perfect history. It just worked out amazing. Remember last match we were talking about the Monty?
Yeah.
Monty, yeah.
Jimmy Hart made the theme for the Monty, too.
Did he?
Yes, he did. So we not only did we have the future Monty, we had the future theme songwriter for the Monty just back-to-back matches.
So he's just a jack of all trades, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's a great guy in real life, too.
Okay, awesome. So this match, definitely, you can tell they really sold that there was a beef going on between
bad
these two.
Blood.
And Roddy Piper, he definitely got his hands not only on Adonis in this match, but he threw Jimmy Hart. I know how great of a guy you think he is, Warren, but Jimmy Hart
over
got thrown around like a rag doll in this match.
Oh, man, that was hard to watch.
It was
knowing
fantastic.
How good a guy he is.
Yeah, and Adonis, I had some things to say about him in the last match.
Yeah, he was toned down, no dress in this one.
Yeah, no, he had what looked like a cloth pink diaper.
Oh, the diaper was weird.
Which was, oddly, a lot less offensive than what he had last time.
You know,
and the worst part about that was...
It was still uncomfortable to watch.
It was still uncomfortable.
The worst part about that was, he's a bigger man, we're all bigger men here, but... He had that diaper thing tucked into his belly, and it was too tight, and that was gross, the way his belly was, like...
Yeah, it was uncomfortable.
Pleasant.
It was slightly less offensive, but it was uncomfortable.
Definitely was.
But he sold
great,
those moves.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He sells those moves so well for such a big guy.
Oh, yeah, he went tossing over the turnbuckles.
Ragdoll.
Yeah, I mean, he was flying all over the place, out of the ring and everything. So... this match, Adonis, actually, we forgot to talk about the little belt whipping.
Oh,
referee,
yeah.
So
referee let a lot go on
I'm
in this match.
Sure, this was a no DQ
real.
Match.
No, let's just get real.
Well, it was, and we haven't even mentioned this, was a hair versus hair match.
That's right.
Yeah, but let's get real here. This referee, he's slacking. Let's see. We had the little people match where he messed up, and I don't know if necessarily should, I don't know. We had the last
mixed
match.
Mixed tag match rules. Yeah. It was fine.
We had Junkyard Dog kick out.
Yeah.
Didn't get that.
There. He's right, though.
We have the last match where they had the tag team where Brutus Beefcake and them had that interference, but he was distracted, wasn't paying attention. This ref is really slipping. He needs to step up that game.
He's right. There's been a lot of controversial calls in this WrestleMania.
It's like they got the college refs out here like they did for the NFL that one time.
Yeah, I wonder if the real refs were on strike this year.
Perhaps.
Okay, so anyhow... This match also has another... Well, first off, it's a WrestleMania first to see a hair versus hair match. This is the first time we've ever seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also a WrestleMania first where we have somebody come out to help another wrestler win a match.
First run-in.
Yes, we had our first run-in, and that was Brutus Beefcake, still not called the Barber.
Oh, you might as well just call him the Barber after this.
It's a
he
hair
comes
versus
out there,
hair match.
He helps Rowdy Piper, and then he, not Rowdy, is the one that shaves off Adonis's head.
Exactly. So he's the one who gets a hold of the hair and takes care of that, and while Rowdy Piper literally puts his foot on Jimmy Hart to make sure he doesn't stop it from happening.
It's like he has Barber in his blood.
And then we're not done with the WrestleMania first. Because we have our very first, and I mean, I have to go back through the WrestleMania to see if this might be the first and last. I don't know. But we have our first run-in by a fan. who literally runs in the ring and celebrates with Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Oh, and he did a great job of selling.
Piper
too.
Said,
right
what the hell? Let's go.
Piper was as cool as could be.
And you're not going to stab me. I'm good. Let's go.
I think he kind of shook his hand and jumped up and down.
And Vince McMahon, you got to give him credit with producing this. Wonderful camera work where he was able to cut off to Rowdy there and he turned away. And he didn't film the actual fan getting tackled, but if you look in the back,
you can see security running in.
Rowdy's leaving, and he's in the,
So that was exciting to see our first fan running. Congratulations. We don't know where you are now, but you just made WrestleMania history.
On what's possibly the best WrestleMania to date.
Yeah, but you know for a fact he's not allowed to go to any more WWE. No,
oh, yeah, he's probably banned for life. Okay, this next match is against the British Bulldogs, Davey Boy Smith and Dynamite Kid, with Tito Santana versus Dangerous Danny Davis and the Hart Foundation, which is Bret the Hitman Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart with their manager, Jimmy Hart. This is a six-man tag team match that we're about to get. Now, we get a little bit of a promo with the Hart Foundation and Jimmy Hart, and then they cut to the ring, and that team is all already in the ring with Jesse the Body Ventura, for some reason, standing in the ring with them, saying he needs to be introduced to the crowd.
In the ring. He, like, is very persistent about it being in the ring.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. Jimmy Hart, Hart Foundation, it just fits, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is the original incarnation of the Hart Foundation, is Bret, Jim, and Jimmy. And then, apparently, Dangerous Danny Davis, he becomes a member also for a very short period of time.
Yeah, an ex-referee, they said.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, they set that up well with Danny. They had that good storyline, and they explained it so that you didn't really need to know much.
Yeah, so apparently Danny Davis was a referee originally and screwed over Tito Santana in a match.
And he was able to get the Hart Foundation their belts.
Right. Which, yes, that's another thing. They are now the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions, and... So you see they're wearing their belts, but this is a non-title six-man tag match. There's no belts on the line in this match.
No, there's not. And Tito just, every WrestleMania seems to get himself into better matches, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. This was a very, very good match. Then we get, by the way, we get the entrance with the British Bulldog.
You got some great
British Bulldogs and Tito Santana. Yeah. And this was a very good match, mostly dominated by the Hart Foundation, Bret and Jim the Anvil. Danny Davis didn't do a whole lot in this match. And a matter of fact, Dynamite Kid, who is the other member of the British Bulldogs, kind of just took a butt-whooping for the majority of this match. They just kept ganging on him and keeping him in their side of the corner, which is good wrestling.
Yeah.
But there was some very good wrestling moves until he could finally make his way over to the corner and get the tag from Davey Boy Smith after Danny Davis botches a move and, you know, he's able to get the tag. So Davey Boy Smith comes in, does a power slam on Danny Davis, and you think, okay, the tides are turning, and this match is about to be, you know, for the faces and the good guys. But pandemonium breaks loose. Everybody kind of jumps in the ring.
And, oh, it was great. And you got to give it, guys. Jimmy Hart comes to save the day again.
Yeah, so Jimmy Hart gets himself involved yet again in another match. And he hands the megaphone to Dangerous Danny Davis. And he hits... I keep wanting to call him the British Bulldog, but he's not quite... That's the tag team name now, but he hits Davey Boy Smith over the head. All the other members of the match are involved with other battles going on, and Dangerous Danny Davis gets the pin, 1, 2, 3, and they steal the win.
I mean, you got to give Jimmy Hart credit after taking the beating he did in the last match.
Yeah, that was kind of the funny thing, is he literally got whooped around by Roddy Piper, but here he's as healthy and energetic as can be to take care of business with another one of his clients.
His many, many clients.
So we're going to have to look around and see...
how many people he's managed in these three WrestleManias.
You know, and the funny thing is not just how many he's managed, how many he managed at the exact same time as other wrestlers, because
this seems to be a trend. That, but it was real life, too, man. You got to think he's a real-life manager, too. He's playing a manager, he's managing who knows how many people on the in WWF total, and then he's managing them in real life, too. I mean, he is really getting his hands in all the pots.
Yeah, so in these golden days of wrestling, this was very common for managers to do, where managers wouldn't just manage one wrestler. We don't really see that much in today's wrestling, but back then, it was very common for guys like Jimmy Hart, Bobby the Brain Heenan, to take on multiple wrestlers, and they were on a show like WrestleMania. We've seen the same guys coming out over and over again just to manage these wrestlers. So it's kind of it was definitely a different time, and things were done very differently.
Yes, they were.
Okay, so before we end this, this is the end of part one of our WrestleMania 3 rewatch podcast. I'd like to ask both of you, so far, is there a certain match that's sticking out as favorite match of the night so far for you?
So for me, I guess my favorite match tonight would probably be the Roddy Piper. That was a really good match. I love seeing Bruce Beefcake come in, try to start off that barber. Jimmy Hart got involved. That was a really fun match. Probably my favorite of the night. It's been really good, guys. Make sure you come back for part two. Remember, I am the Ohio Nerd. You can follow me on YouTube at the Ohio Nerd, Instagram at the Ohio Nerd, and Facebook at the Ohio Nerd. Just Ohio Nerd at OHIONERD.
How about you, Blaze? Anything? Closing arguments here?
You know what? And it's strange. It's strange because Adorable Adonis was in my least favorite match of WrestleMania 2. But I'm going to have to agree with the Ohio Nerd over here. Best match of the night so far has been Roddy Piper versus the Adorable Adonis.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with both of you, but I just kind of want to break the trend here. And I'm going to go with the King Harley Race and the Junkyard Dog match.
Another good match.
Yeah, you've been really big on Junkyard Dog in these.
I'll tell you what, watching these old WrestleManias, man, I really like the Junkyard Dog. And he's just very energetic, very fun to watch, and
good showmanship.
Very, very good showmanship. And you can tell, we saw an interview with him. He really just seems to be having a lot of fun doing what he does. And it definitely comes across. The Roddy Piper match was right there with it. But I'm just, I feel like I want to give the edge to the Junkyard Dog match. Even though he did lose the match was still a very fun match to watch.
I just enjoyed watching Rowdy just tear Adonis apart.
Yeah, that was fun too. This has been a very good WrestleMania so far. It's really, to be honest, and we won't do this now. We'll wait till the next episode to do our least favorite match of the night. But it's going to be hard to pick a least favorite match because
really
this has been a very good WrestleMania.
Yeah, one of the best.
I mean, I'm sure we got to do our job. There's going to be a least favorite match.
Absolutely.
Oh, I already have one.
But there really hasn't been a stinker yet, has there?
No, definitely not.
There hasn't been just one. I mean, there was kind of an offensive one, but it was still a fun match to watch. And I think that's what you're talking about,
Blaze. That is definitely my least favorite.
The Little People match, right?
The Little People.
the little people match.
Although they did a great job.
They sold it. They did a good job. They did a great job.
Now, if that match sticks as your least favorite in episode two of this podcast, the funny thing is that means, and I don't think you picked it in WrestleMania 1, but that means King Kong Bundy might have landed in the worst match of two out of the three WrestleManias, because I believe King Kong Bundy was in my least favorite match of WrestleMania 1.
Yeah, because my least favorite was the Tito Santana and Executioner match.
Yes.
But yeah, yours.
And I thought that was a decent enough match. I just thought the King Kong Bundy match just was nothing but a...
But then he was in your best match last WrestleMania.
Well, he took on the immortal Hulk Hogan in a steel cage. It's hard to beat a steel cage match, even no matter who's in it. But it was just a great match. That's a very good point that King Kong Bundy is either on the right side or the wrong side of these decisions. Okay, so I am Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And you are?
I'm the Ohio Nerd. Guys, make sure to follow at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram. There's a Facebook group as well. Make sure you guys leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Spread the word to your friends if you're enjoying the show. And make sure to check me out, too, on all the social medias.
All right. We'll see you in the next episode.
Show. Thank you for listening. Good night.